Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. They've served the Valley for decades. Find out why. And I'm at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, it's 11-15 in Hummel's Wharf. We're joined by the head basketball coach at Bucknell, Dave Paulson. Dave, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Good to be on, Steve.
What was the difference between half one and half two? I know that's probably the first question you were asked after the game, after the BU game.
Well, you know, that's a good question. You know, I think, you know, BU, with their athleticism and their defensive intensity, really put our guys on their heels. And, we didn't play with a level of poise that we needed to offensively in the first half. We turned it over way too much for my liking. We also had some really good shots that didn't go down. I thought we played pretty well defensively for about the first 14, 15 minutes of the first half against a really talented team, and then we had some breakdowns when we couldn't score. But the big thing was that we just executed better in the second half, and we competed harder. You know, against really good defensive teams, they're going to make it hard for you to score on your first option. You got to be able to get your second, third, fourth option in an offensive possession, and we did a better job in that regard in the second half, and hopefully, you know, we can learn from it and keep getting better.
Because you found range in the second half. You only hit 1-3 in the first half, and that gets to be frustrating, but then the second half you come out and you hit 7 of them. Same looks or just a better rotation?
Well, truthfully, they were harder looks. A lot of them, we were down at the end, and they're harder. To some degree, when you have, we've got a really good group of guys that I love working with every single day. They haven't yet hit the level of consistency that we want. We're going to keep working at it. They can do it. They know it. But when they struggle a little bit, I think they start thinking too much. And at the end of the game, it was almost kind of desperation mode. You know, they didn't think. And, we want them to think in the areas that they're supposed to think and not think about their shooting. So, part of it, too, Chris Haas was out on Wednesday. He didn't really practice for 5 or 10 minutes on Friday. He was out on Thursday. He scored 17 points the last 7 minutes of the game, and he really struggled in the first, 20-some minutes. Confidence is such a fragile thing, Steve, and we got a good group of guys, and they just got to keep working at it and learning how to step up and knock down those shots when teams are really getting up and pressuring us.
And it also helps when you foul a certain guy and he hits 3 out of 4 free throws in the final 30 seconds. I mean, he did his job for them.
Right.
Dave, how are you doing on points per possession right now? Are you comfortable right now with the quality of possession you get? Because points per possession is something the average fan doesn't see. It's a breakdown that you get. Are you okay in that regard because you're trying to play defensively and keep the score in a certain range?
No, I mean, we're not okay. We're an inconsistent offensive team right now. Again, we struggle against the more athletic teams that we play that really get out and defend really aggressively. Now, we've played some more athletic teams that maybe didn't necessarily defend as aggressively. But that's the thing that, when we can operate in a comfort zone offensively, we're pretty good. And we just and it's sometimes hard to replicate that level of athleticism within our own practices. We've now seen everything. It's just more consistency, Steve. We'll have 3 good possessions, and then we'll take a stupid shot or turn the ball over. And that's frustrating because for our guys as well, they know what they're capable of doing.
How do you take a look, Dave, as a coach, at plus minus for a particular player when they're on the floor? Is that something that enters into your thought process moving forward on how and when to use certain players?
Yeah, you know, it is. And we look at everything, Steve. You know, obviously we grade the film and everything like that, but we actually subscribe to a service that does a plus minus for me for every player in that game. Every player over the course of the season, combinations that work well together. You know, and so we look at all that, but the thing is that they'll probably be a little bit more appropriate, maybe even for last year's team, where there wasn't as much variance in one individual's performance. You know, we just, you know, for better or for worse, we're all over the map in terms of individual performances. So right. It's a little harder to tell. And our highs have been incredibly high, and our lows have been, you know, kind of low. And unfortunately, sometimes we get both in the same half. So that does make it a little challenging, you know, but we've got a good group of guys that are working extremely hard. We're about ready to get on the practice floor here in a minute. And we're just focusing it to them. Hey, we knew that some of this was going to happen. There's been a few more ups and downs than I would have liked. We're a little further into the season, and you have yet to find that level of consistency. But I still believe in these guys, and there's a lot of basketball yet to be played.
And they play hard, too. They play really hard.
Oh, we play really hard. I mean, there's no fight in these guys. They're resilient. Yeah. They scratch. They claw. They're very coachable. They're very unselfish. They want to do the right thing desperately. Part of it is learning how to do the right thing all the time, and part of it is learning how to forget about the times when you don't do the right thing and you kind of, you know, move on to the next play. And that's, you know, that's the fun part of coaching. It's also the challenging part of coaching.
No question. I mean, there's no question about that. I'm going to ask you one more, then I'm going to let you go because I know you have to get to the practice floor. We in the media will concentrate on certain numbers, certain stats, things that we perceive to be important. Through your experience and everything that you've done as a coach, Dave, and all the success you've had as a coach, what are a couple of stats that you rely on a little bit that will validate how you feel about either a player, a play, or a situation?
Well, to me, as a team, field goal percentage defense is the single most important thing. And again, there's more advanced statistics out there now on points per possession, but you know, to the average fan, if your field goal percentage defense, you know, last year, the last two or three years, we're at 39% field goal percentage defense, and now I think we're at 44. And that tells you everything. You know, we're giving up two more buckets a game. And, you know, we're not that far away, Steve, but we're giving up two or three more buckets a game, and that's what we're losing by. And those are the things that can be a constant, because your own field goal percentage shooting is going to fluctuate on the road, things like that. I think rebound margin is another thing. You know, we have historically been very, very good on the defensive glass, maybe not as good in the offensive glass because we're trying to get back in transition. And we've been pretty good at that. I think turnovers, you know, if we don't turn the ball over, we're going to have a chance. We're turning the ball over two or three times a game more than we have in the past. And then transition points that you give up. And so I kind of look at it as ways, you know, how do you avoid losing? Because I think that's the first thing. And so don't turn it over. Don't give up transition shots. Don't give up second shots. And make them shoot, a tough percentage shot. And in all those areas, we're improving, but we're 2 or 3 percentage points off of kind of the standard of excellence. And as we tell our guys, that's 2 stops a game. That's it. And we just have to, you know, kind of improve in that area.
Well, that's a very intriguing answer. I appreciate you taking the time to outline that. At Lehigh, at Colgate, we wish you nothing but the best and look forward to talking to you next Monday.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Dave, thanks so much. Dave Paulson, head basketball coach at Bucknell. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Well, I'm getting concerned that I think one of the things that makes sports great to watch is the built-in stadium excitement that comes through a TV set. And they have to be very careful here about skirting that line, because while we're sitting here in central Pennsylvania and the odds of any of us going to the Super Bowl are long, some people can. I mean, for example, I know Rick Weibel goes to games all the time. But the number of people that can go to the game or have even thought about going to the game, and let's face it, you're talking about two teams, one from the Mountain Time Zone, the other from the Pacific Time Zone, playing in the Eastern Time Zone for a championship. So you don't really have local ties to the game. It's not as if the Steelers or the Eagles were going. If the Steelers were in the Super Bowl, there would certainly be a desire to pay the money to go see the game.
There would not be a ticket issue at all.
Well, there aren't any ticket issues with this. The game is sold out.
No, but I mean, even the resale of said tickets would be, you know,
because people can get there. Same with the Eagles. It's a big, if the Redskins made it, Giants, Jets, Patriots, if you had somebody within the region, the Ravens, make it. Raven fans, by the way, did not travel in droves last year to the New Orleans, That's how the price got down to face value last year on tickets. Well, now it's a 3,000-mile trip from Seattle to New York. That's an investment. You're a Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Washington, Baltimore, Jets, Giants, Bills, Patriots. You're that fan, and it's a drive, especially the ability to drive in the day of the game. Not have to worry about transportation, hotels. You have to worry about parking, obviously. But it's less of an investment as opposed to a plane flight, a hotel, and things like that. So for Seattle and Denver fans, more an investment of time because of the regions. It'll be the same thing next year if any of the aforementioned teams I just talked about made the Super Bowl, because it's in Glendale. You'd have to invest the money in the plane flight and then finding hotels in the Phoenix, Tempe, Glendale area. So it's an investment for them to get here. My problem is that ambiance in a game means something. excitement coming through the television set means something. You have to continue to get the fan into the stands. You don't want this to become a studio game. So far, they've avoided that issue, but they're skirting the line. With all the television money, do you need to sell tickets for as much as it costs? Do you need parking for as much as it costs?
Right now, a parking pass, by the way, going for $185.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a regular season game.
No, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
You know, the Meadowlands and go see the Giants or the Jets play. I mean, how much are you paying to park? I mean, parking's an issue for people. There's no question about that. Not just the tickets, it's the parking. You feel like you paid already so much for tickets, and I get to pay to park? I think parking bothers fans. Paying a parking fee, I think, bothers fans more than the cost of the ticket.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. It's like, what am I paying for? I'm paying for the opportunity to park in a parking lot that is next to the stadium where I paid to sit.
The NFL is farming out Thursday Night Football. Now, they're going to continue to carry it on the NFL Network, and the NFL Network's going to have a few exclusive nights, but they're farming it out. Everybody has now opted to put in a bid. ABC, ESPN, CBS, NBC, Fox. All their partners have opted to bid for it. And they're bidding, and you better believe the bids are significant to get the package. The NFL is a ratings bonanza. So that's what they're looking to do. Well, that's more money in everybody's pocket. Do you realize that in 1976, each team got $1.2 million from television? Okay? In 1976, each team got $1.2 million each from the television contracts. This past year, they all got $120 million per team from television. And that number is just going to go up. You're trying to tell me that you need to pay all that money for a ticket to a stadium? Yeah, I don't know what you're paying rent in the stadium, okay, if it's not your place, okay? But just break even. Everything else is in your favor.
That's not to mention all the national radio contracts there are, too. I mean, well, I'm sure that doesn't match up to the television.
I think the number I give you is the total number. You know, I do mention the Learfield contract because that is separate from what they get from TV. And I've done that before.
And I understand
It also doesn't include their local radio rights. They get to keep that as well.
And I understand the argument that when you compare it to baseball, well, we don't have as many home games. All right, I get that. But again, my question is, why does it cost me at minimum $10 to park in your parking lot? What are you providing me besides a parking space? Because they're really, if you go to a lot of stadiums, there are very few places to park other than that designated parking lot.
Yeah, it depends. Each stadium has their own. The Meadowlands actually has a pretty good parking situation. So does Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots play. Philadelphia, I think the Eagles have great.
Yeah,
setup.
That's good parking there. The parking, yeah. But again, there's a fee to park there.
Yeah, but the fee to park everywhere.
But that's my question. Why, if I'm already paying a high fee to get into the game anyway, why not incorporate the parking fee in that?
Right.
I mean, if you're going to charge me $10 to park, then charge me $45 for the seat at a baseball game, for instance. I'll feel like I got a deal.
Right. Well, I just think that they need to take a long, hard look. Now, obviously, salaries drive this. I understand that. I mean, all the money that they're paying. No offense, Peyton Manning doesn't come cheap. And for Seattle, they better enjoy this part of it right now, because there's going to be a point in a couple of years where Russell Wilson's going to have to be compensated.
They're getting him on the cheap right now.
Why do you think Bobby Averill and Percy Harvin are playing for Seattle in the Super Bowl? Because Russell Wilson's contract is so low. I mean, they have all that extra money because they are not paying millions of dollars to their starting quarterback. That allowed them to go out and get Bobby Averill and Percy Harvin to sign them, because their quarterback is paid at a level that has freed up millions of dollars to get other people. Well, once he's eligible for a contract, that changes.
At the fantasy level, we would call that a value pick.
Well, his third-round pick, as opposed to RG3, Andrew Luck, Ryan Tannehill, as first-round picks. I mean, Colin Kaepernick's the same boat. The 49ers were able to get Anquan Boldin. Why were they able to get Anquan Boldin? How did they come up with the money for that? Because Colin Kaepernick was a second-round pick. And he's still in the infancy of his career in the NFL, which means he is not qualified yet for his first major deal. Interesting. Interesting watching Nick Foles throw to Antonio Brown last night. Looked natural.
That game was a joke. Just my opinion.
You were uncomfortable watching a Steeler work with an Eagle so easily?
Why do you have teammates against each other? That's just, I don't know. That whole thing didn't make any sense to me.
Well, that's the entire concept of this show. You're angry now, aren't you?
Sometimes I wonder why I come in.
For moments such as these.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Monday. Tomorrow, Corey Geiger from the Altoona Mirror, Mike Poorman from StateCollege.com, Tony DeFazio on the Pittsburgh Sports Report. Yes, I will ask him tomorrow about Mike Munchak now coaching the offensive line.
I'm ecstatic about that, by the way.
And we heard from James Franklin, John Donovan, Bob Shoup, and Charles Huff on Friday as part of the introductory press conferences. There are six other coaches, though, we're going to hear from. Actually, seven, including Dwight Gault. We're going to hear from the guys that you did not hear from that make up the rest of the staff. We're going to have a segment with all of them tomorrow as well. Then Wednesday, a look at Super Bowl Media Day. Our idea is to get a hold of Michael Robinson and Jordan Hill and talk with them. Seahawks are interesting. They're the first team since Super Bowl 25 and the Buffalo Bills to not have a single player in the roster that's ever played in the Super Bowl before.
I heard that today. I think it was on Dan Patrick. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad. I really don't. Sometimes I think that's good.
You know what? I don't think it matters anymore. I really don't. I think tomorrow matters. That's the part there are two parts to this that are not normal. One is the number of tickets that you have to take care of and the ticket request that you get. That's why having 2 weeks is really good, because everybody has that off their plate now. Number two is tomorrow, Media Day, and the insanity that goes with that. It's going to be a cluster bomb.
You're going to be tweeting pictures, right?
No. I'm going to be doing what I should be doing. That's called work. You can take some other picture or whatever, say Steve's in there somewhere, and tweet it if you wish.
Great, thanks.
But, I mean, that's what makes this different. Then the third part is, how do you control your emotions going in? Because what you should do is you should say to yourself, hey, look, this is a normal game. And once you get smacked in the mouth the first time, it is a normal game. I mean, I broadcast big games before, NCAAs and so forth, whatever, and I've always approached it as I've approached every other game I've ever done. So that's just me. That's how I go about things. Right? Do the Rose Bowl game. Guess what? It's the same preparation as I did for the UMass game. After that, you go do it. But everybody treats everything differently. You know, some people have the ability to treat it as an average day at the office, and other people, you know, get a little overwhelmed by the moment, thinking, "Oh my God, this is the big one," and you don't handle it quite right. Okay, that's because everybody's different. So we're going to get to the recruiting part in a moment. I'm going to talk about that. But that's the unusual part. The tickets, which they took care of last week, because the process and the number of people that want them and bother you and bug you can throw you off your game. Tomorrow is another day that can kind of throw you off. Because the number of people that are going to be at this thing is astronomical. And it's going to be in a more condensed area. You're talking about instead of having a 100-yard football field where you can take care of this, which is 300 feet, okay, and then you add the two end zones in, so you're talking 360 feet to work with in width. Okay? Or in terms of length, it's only 200 feet. It's a hockey arena. So it's even going to be more confined. So those are some of the things that makes it a completely different experience compared to your average game. After that, in practice and so forth, it should be pretty normal. It's always interesting to see how the NFL reports things. Here's one for you. You're going to love this. I saw the two injury reports for the two teams this morning. You'll love this. Marshawn Lynch is on the Seattle injury report list. Okay? Here's his line. Wednesday, DNP, did not practice. Thursday, DNP. Friday, DNP. Status, probable.
that sounds almost like a Bill Belichick type of injured list.
Yeah.
Didn't practice. No, I mean, hangnail. He's questionable.
Well, no, they don't say what it is. No, they do say what it is. I'm sorry. Peyton Manning is also on the injury list. Peyton Manning's on the injury list.
I think he's been on that list all year.
No, they didn't put him on until after the San Diego game. He's listed as having an ankle injury. But Wednesday, FP, full practice. Thursday, FP. Friday, FP, probable. Now, the kicker, Prater, got sick. He's been DNP.
He's been all but automatic this year.
Well, you're all but automatic in Denver.
Well, and that was going to be my point. I mean, but he does play a lot of his games in Denver. And there will be a little bit of wind the way the forecast looks.
Yeah, listen, there's always wind there.
There's no such thing as wind there. I'm sorry. I think this is a great idea. I know Mike Ditka hates it, thinks it's stupid. I don't think this is stupid at all. I think if you take a look at most fans, they'll tell you that football is made to be played in the elements. That's why they don't postpone football games at the NFL and college level, because of snow and because of rain and all that stuff. This is the way it's supposed to be played. And I know fans get upset in high school football when they postpone games because of rain. Now, their idea is much different because they're worried about the field and they don't have the finances or the manpower to go fix in the field every time there's a rainstorm and they play a football game. But, you know, most fans want to play this game in weather.
Well, I think actually, I think if you were to secretly pull them aside, I bet they're hoping for a little swirl of snow during the game.
I am. There's no question about it. I am. Now, the real question is, will fans sit in weather like that? You know, in the stands, will they put up with weather like that? Or will they put up with ice or sleet or whatever?
Well,
I mean, that's the real question the NFL is asking. Not asking, hey, do you think this is a good idea to have? No, every fan thinks this is great to have it in this weather. The real question is, how much money are we going to lose because of that?
Hmm. Well, it is, I don't know how much longer it'll be before they try this again. They certainly make it seem like it's a once in a lifetime deal. They're going to, if they, you know, to play it outdoors.
Sure sounds like it, yeah.
But, you know, you go to Detroit, you play indoors. You can go to Minnesota, play indoors. Indianapolis, same thing. They closed the roof in Dallas. They had to. It was too cold.
Can you imagine if they actually built a domed stadium in, like, Philadelphia, or if they built one in New England? I would think fans would be livid with a domed stadium in the, because that's what they, that's the type of fan that loves this weather.
Well, I'll say this, a retractable dome. I like retractable domes.
Like giving you the option?
Yeah.
Well, like, how many times will you not see them open, close the dome if it's snowing? That's the only problem.
Oh, they close it. Oh, they would close it. But you know what? You got to weigh a couple things. One is, elements play a role in the game, which I got. That's why I prefer open air stadiums. But at the same time, what's the comfort level of the fan?
But
I'm not too worried about the comfort. I'm not worried about the comfort level of the players.
But I go back with to the Ice Bowl. Now, I was not alive when the Ice Bowl happened. But I'll tell you what, I know that game. And I know everything that happened in that game, and I know what the weather conditions were like in that game, because it's been historic.
That's what made it historic,
right?
Was the weather.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And no matter what happens in this game, if there's any sort of weather element at all, people are going to remember this game because it was a Super Bowl that actually had a weather element other than rain.
Right.
And that's the other thing that I've been hearing. Oh, you know, you got to take the weather out of it. It's a big game. It's like, no, if you can play football, you should be able to play football. Whether it rains, it sleets, it snows, or it's 90 degrees, you should be able to play football.
Oh, football's an outdoor game, and the elements are a big part of it. I mean, I'll be frank with you. I mean, to me, the greatest, in my experience, the greatest problem weather-wise for football has always been wind. It's not rain or snow. It's wind. I think wind is the greatest determining weather factor out there.
I agree with that. That makes the decision which end you're going to defend.
Well, you know, but, you know, it affects the punt game, affects field goals, affects how you throw the football. I mean, there are a lot of things that you can, that, you know, snow, rain, okay, fine. But wind's a problem. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. And you can go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. Find out why so many families have turned to them for their insurance needs. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Football recruiting, one thing that rarely is taken into account is that you look at the number of stars assigned, and that's based on, obviously, a wide variety of factors of what people see. What people don't take into account is how big a jump it is from high school to college, and then an exponential jump from college to the pros. When you're suddenly out there against comparable talent, right, if you are a great player and you line up at wide receiver, you know, that kid from Milton, who is 5'10", 185 pounds, who is up against you every day, you know, or every, you know, in this week, this Friday's game. Well, next year, when you're lining up in practice, that's Jordan Lucas, who was made all Big Ten honors this year over there. He's a little older. He knows how to play, understands leverage. Suddenly you're out there. Can you do it against comparable competition? And if you're struggling against comparable competition, can you then find enough in your game to adjust to make your game better so now you finally get an edge? That's why the recruiting process has so many twists, turns, and so much unpredictability to it. Also, you have to make an adjustment to, if you go to Penn State, to legitimately going to class. Balancing your time. Trying to figure out time management. While trying to learn a playbook. There's also much more, I think there's much more pressure now on players that sign with a program. I see the star rating and say, well, how come you're not producing? Everybody takes their own, has their own clock, their own way of going about it, getting there, adjustment time. Some could do it like that. No sweat. Others, a couple years. Some never get it. It's just a wide variety of reasons. And there's not a lot of patience anymore. I've always felt it was a huge plus for me that I did not have to sit there. And I've talked about recruiting in general terms, but I can't talk about specific players because I've always had a specific policy with me. And the NCAA bails me out because they put me into a position where I can't, it's an NCAA violation if I do. But I really start to develop my attitude about player development when I actually see them practice myself, my own eyes, where I see them go against comparable talent. Suddenly you're not the 305-pound offensive lineman crushing some 250, 60-pound kid in front of you. Suddenly you're lining up. Oh, that's Deion Barnes. Really? Now let's see how good you are. And it takes time. I remember a great example, and coaches can tell these things. Great example is Bruce Blake. Bruce Blake came to Penn State out of Maryland. Good basketball player. And he's, you know, I watched him in practice. He struggled. I watched him, you know, just not really go anywhere fast. So one day I said to Bruce, it was Blake's freshman year, I said, Bruce, I said, can Blake help the program? He said, no. He says, Steve, it's going to take him a little bit. He says, by the time he's a junior, gets in the weight room and so forth and really becomes comfortable with how we do things, I said, when he's a junior, he's going to be a real player. Well, guess what? When Bruce Blake became a junior, he became a real player. Everybody has their own clock. Sometimes the clock doesn't match up with what the website says. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. We roll down the home stretch together on this Monday. Tomorrow, Mike Poorman, statecollege.com, Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, and then the seven coaches you did not hear from on Friday, you will hear from tomorrow. Super Bowl Media Day coverage on Wednesday. The idea is we want to get Michael Robinson and Jordan Hill on the show. So, that's what we have coming up. We're also trying to get Mitch Williams on the show later in the week, former Phillies reliever, now with MLB Network. He's going to be here in State College Saturday night for the first pitch dinner, and I think Thursday's the target day we were looking at to get Mitch Williams on the show. Kevin writing everything down feverishly because
that's right.
He believes Twitter will save the world.
I do.
Oh, boy. That and fantasy football. All right. Now, our fantasy football league shut down because there's only one game left?
Yes.
Can't enter like a fantasy Super Bowl league?
Not that I'm... Well, I mean, there might be different things around that you could do.
Well, we've talked a lot about recruiting in the Super Bowl, obviously. Tomorrow will be... Some guys are going to love it and embrace it, and other people are going to be intimidated by it. It's just so... There's so many people there, and there's so many people there that just know nothing about sports that will be there. And that's fine. It's just... It's part of it. You just roll with it. It doesn't matter. Right? I know some people have said, oh, boy, you know, that are in sports, the worthless day. It's not a worthless day. And here's the reason it's not a worthless day. What the Super Bowl does is the same thing the Daytona 500, baseball, free agency, okay, basketball, hockey, player movement. Every day we have something to talk about, recruiting. We have something to talk about all the time. It gives us more fodder for something to talk about. If this were a different kind of show, the Grammys gave us plenty to talk about last night. I mean, big events give you something to talk about. Around the water cooler, you know, hey, Peyton Manning, you know. And, you know, will his passes float like a wounded duck in that wind? You know, Manning doesn't have the arm strength he had, obviously, 5 years ago. You watch him throw the football. He's accurate, especially on short stuff, but there's a little more flutter in the ball than it used to be, especially in the wind. That's why he struggled in it. Today's show has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. Find out why. I'll tell you why. Because your needs are what's important to them. Sunbury Motors, same story. Your needs are important to them. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Mike Poorman, Corey Geiger, Tony DeFazio tomorrow, along with the Penn State assistant football coaches, all on tomorrow's show. Plus, Kevin MapQuest Sochi on the air.
I don't think he can get there by driving.